Good evening, Columbus, and welcome to Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay, happy to be back with you in 2016. I hope you've all had a wonderful new year and very happy holidays, whatever you celebrate, and I'm glad that you're joining us tonight. As the new year begins to roll in, we all have resolutions that, okay, let's be honest, we're probably not going to keep. Gyms, healthy food, less technology, whatever it is you've promised, it's probably likely that it will never make it all the way to 2017. But maybe that's because we try and promise ourselves big things. More money, high weight loss, tons of time commitments, when what we really should be promising is something small, something doable. Tonight, we'll explore some of the little things you can do to make 2016 a brighter and more beautiful place for yourself and for everyone around you. Question, one people ask when they've just been introduced or when they're making small talk with the clerk at checkout, but it's really quite a complicated one. You probably know where you were born, where you grew up, and you certainly know where you live now, but where are you actually from? Where did your ancestors call home, and what brought you to where you are today? In the rush of life, these questions are often forgotten, but what interesting questions they are. After all, what story is more interesting than your own? So why not use 2016 to take a journey into self-discovery? Find out your roots, the cultures that made you, you. You might be surprised just how interesting and diverse you are.
Heart, don't fail me now. Courage, don't desert me. Don't turn back now that we're here. No one ever mentions fear, or how the world can seem so vast on a journey to the past. Somewhere down this road.
Or, if you're not particularly interested in history, look into cultures different than your own. The world is full of songs, sights, and smells from all over, and learning about them can open doors to new favorites and possibilities. Upper Arlington student Claire Mitchell tells us how her high school helped to bring this diversity to life in this week's Positively Charged.
No, I'm positive.
On the week of November 16th through 20th, in the hallways at Upper Arlington High School, music from around the world blended itself with the chatter of students traveling between classes. The music was just one part of Culture and Diversity Week, a school-wide event put on by the Culture and Diversity Club at Upper Arlington with the aim to encourage students to appreciate different ways of life. Anissa Awad, a senior involved with the club, explains the idea behind the week.
Along with having international music in the halls, in between periods and the beginning and end of the days, we had a culture and diversity fair where we set up different booths with different countries, and each country brought to the table whatever they thought was important for people to know about their country. So food, music, things about religion, different kinds of dances or games.
At first, some students were skeptical. With less than 8% of Upper Arlington citizens belonging to minorities as of 2010, according to the United States Census Bureau, it seemed to junior McDaniel Hartranft as though the week's messages would go unappreciated. But she soon changed her stance.
It was super cool to hear something different for a change and kind of like think about different countries and not totally think about Upper Arlington or think about high school and think about things that are just, like, bigger than high school, because I feel like sometimes we can get caught up in, like, living in the now instead of, like, seeing the overall big picture.
With the recent events overseas, it was evident that the messages of the week had increased importance to the students.
We all have different opinions on different foreign policy topics, but I think that it's more of a humanitarian thing when it comes to refugees and just, like, making sure that everyone is safe and everyone feels safe within their own country and within their own home. People can be kind of closed off because they have certain ideas about certain cultures, and when we open up our horizons, we are able to understand different cultures, and we're able to be more accepting and less scared of the unknown.
As Willis D. Hall writes in his report for the Southern Poverty Law Center, everyone is diverse in some way that is relevant to their learning. Thus, by focusing on school conditions that are particularly important to the success of students from racially and ethnically diverse backgrounds, we can learn lessons that help to identify and address school conditions that can improve the learning opportunities and outcomes of all students. Anissa offers some advice about how listeners can appreciate diversity in their own lives.
Read news sources from different countries, try and listen to different music. If you're eating out, make sure you go to restaurants that aren't, like, chain ethnic restaurants, and, like, go to authentic supermarkets or restaurants. Watch international movies. Just try and, like, broaden your horizons and make sure you're not just, like, sitting, watching, eating, listening to the same stuff over and over again.
Once more, that was Claire Mitchell with Positively Charged. You're listening to Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. Tonight, we're talking about easy ways to make 2016 a better, brighter year. And though change starts with you, you don't always have to be the end recipient. One of the best ways to use change is to affect others with it. From charities to volunteer work, Central Ohio is bursting with places to help others, both near and far. Strides for Sudan is just one of those organizations, and the work they do not only changes lives here in Ohio, but across the ocean as well.
Strides for South Sudan is an active organization and has been for the past 5 years at Upper Arlington High School. The club holds annual fundraisers to help raise money for the Lost Boys of Sudan, which is a group of over 20,000 boys of the Nuer and Dinka ethnic groups who were displaced during the Second Sudanese Civil War, and also help with their maternity clinic in Peel, Sudan. The Nuer and Dinka are two conflicting tribes of people that inhabit South Sudan. Gracie Bergdahl, president of the Strides for South Sudan Club, has been involved with the organization for 4 years. Upper Arlington High School teachers Mark Besh and Carolyn Angelos brought it to the students' attention. Youth Beat reporter Maya Noriel talks to Gracie Bergdahl about the club.
Just really was intrigued by it because it was something I never heard of. I didn't even know that there was a country called South Sudan. And so I was really excited to learn something new and be able to help other people. And I think the part where we were actually working with real lost boys, I think that was what really interest me, because it was something like tangible and you could talk to them and see what they were like.
Strides for South Sudan has raised over $55,000 to help with the maternity clinic and to feed those in need.
What have you done to raise money for the Lost Boys?
Every year we have a chili cook-off. I won last year, so I'm hoping to get that again. We do a annual walk-a-thon, which is in the spring, and for the last 2 years, we've done a tea bread sale, which has actually brought in a ton of revenue and money for the club. So that's been really helpful.
What do you hope to do with the club this year?
I hope to raise the most money that we've ever had in the program, because they actually really, really need it now. They're on the brink of another civil war, which is awful. But they need all the supplies they can get, and we need more humanitarian relief in the country because the people are fleeing where they're living, and there's no food, no resources to get what they need. So they're really in need of it.
Mark Besh is excited about the progress being made with Strides for South Sudan. Youth Beat reporter Maya Noriel talks to Mark Besh on how he feels the students have made an impact.
Do you feel the students have made an impact?
Heck yeah, the students have made an impact. Raised over $55,000, have helped fund a health clinic in a village that never had electricity, let alone a health clinic. So yes, they've impacted.
Mark Besh explains how to prevent a similar situation from happening again in South Sudan and how everyone can help by raising awareness.
Are there any ways that we can help prevent the same situation from happening again?
I just think by students being aware that these types of issues are happening in Africa, we look at the Ebola crisis that's taking place, I think the way to make sure these issues don't happen is being aware in the United States and knowing that we are a wealthy country and we do have to help those that are less fortunate, and Africa is certainly one of those continents that needs our help.
If you want to learn more about Strides for South Sudan or the Lost Boys, feel free to email Mark Bash at mboesch@uaschools.org or visit columbusworldaffairs.com/stridesforsouthsudan. That is mboesch@uaschools.org or visit columbusworldaffairs.com/stridesforsouthsudan. This has been Michael Roberts and Maya Norial for Youth Beat Radio.
And with that, we're going to take a little music break, but don't touch that dial because we are going to be right back. For now, this is David Bowie with one of his many longtime hits, Changes.
And my time was running wild in the dead-end streets. And every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. But I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man. But never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to blow up on all of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Where's your shame? You've left us up to our necks and in.
Time may change me.
You can't trace time. Strange.
Welcome back to Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay, your host, hoping that your first week of 2016 has been fun and productive, if not warm. Tonight we've been talking about simple ways to make the new year great for yourself and for people across the sea. But what about the people you pass every day on the street? In some way, shape, or form, every one of us needs a little bit of help, be it financial, a friend to talk to, or just a smile on the street. For a lot of people, this need comes in its simplest form: food. If you're lucky, you've never had to worry about where your next meal is coming from. But disabilities, the loss of a job, and other such unfortunate circumstances can make it hard for friends and neighbors to buy and prepare food. Luckily, there are plenty of people prepared to help. Meals on Wheels is an organization dedicated to bringing food to those who need it, but their influence extends far beyond that of a simple delivery service. Youth Beat Radio interviewed one of the volunteers with Meals on Wheels about her experience working with the organization.
All right, I'm sitting here with Teddy Castelli, and she's going to talk to us today about the program Meals on Wheels.
Okay, Meals on Wheels is a program that delivers meals to people who are elderly, homebound, or also people who can't afford it. I got involved as a sophomore in high school. To graduate from my high school, you had to do 50 hours of community service, and this was how I chose to do it. There was another girl at school who did it, and she told me I could come along on her route with her. And so I did. What we do is we go down to Life Care Alliance downtown on Mound Street, and you pick up meals in like a cooler. There's a hot pack and then a cold cooler as well. And you go into the office, you pick up your delivery sheet. You have the same route every time you go, and so you get to know all these people that you're delivering food to. So you develop a relationship with them, and you get to know them and their animals, and a lot of times their families are often there too. And you just deliver the meals, and you fill out your paperwork as you go, and then you just bring the coolers back to Life Care Alliance, and you go home. It takes anywhere from, you know, an hour to 3 hours. When I first started doing it, it took me longer, but I know my route now, and I know all the people, and so we do it pretty quickly. And I only do it the first, third, and fifth Sunday of the month. But if you want to do it every week, they certainly will let you do it every week. And so it's not a huge time commitment, but it's something that absolutely makes a difference. And it's a lot of fun to do. It's really easy, and you make a difference. And these people are happy to see you, and you just really feel like you're doing something in your community.
Okay, now you said you worked on the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month.
Yes.
Are deliveries only on Sundays, or how do they get food to other people every other day of the week?
There are deliveries 7 days a week. There is, I believe, only one delivery per day, and that's why oftentimes you'll be taking people two meals, or sometimes they're able to make themselves a sandwich, but they aren't able to actually stand long enough at a stove to cook, or they also don't have the money to do it. So that's why we take them the hot meals. So that's their hot cooked meal of the day, but oftentimes you do take them more than one meal.
Okay, so what comes with a hot meal? Kind of just give me a basic idea of what type of food they're delivering.
With the hot meals, it is like a black tray, and it's kind of compartmentalized. There's different compartments in it, and there's a meat of sorts, and there's usually a vegetable, and then maybe a starch like potatoes or corn or something else. And then they get a little bag with bread and butter usually, or sometimes it'll be bread with strawberry jam or a little piece of cornbread, something else on the side. And then the cold meals, they have usually like pasta salad or tuna salad with a roll, and come with a little container of fruit. And then we also deliver whole milk, skim milk, and orange juice.
Okay, very cool. So tell me a little bit about your route. Where does the Life Care Alliance deliver Meals on Wheels? All over Central Ohio, or just tell me?
This Life Care Alliance that I work out of does deliver all over Central Ohio, so all the suburbs and surrounding areas. My route started in Bexley off of Broad Street, and has kind of changed a little and has moved further and further east. So mine is more in Whitehall now, like out around 270 and Broad.
Okay.
But I've done routes in Worthington, like 161 Cleveland Avenue area. I've done them down in Grove City. I've done them like straight up downtown. I've done them out on the west side of town. So oftentimes they'll call you and ask you if you can do an extra route, like if someone else cancels. So that could be anywhere in the city. But mine mostly is on the east side of town.
Okay, so your route is assigned to you, or do you get to pick, or how do they do routes?
My route, when this girl that I did it with, when she graduated, because she was older than me, mm-hmm. I just picked up her route because I'd been doing it, and when she was busy with college stuff, I would pick up her route for her. So I really got to know the route, and that's still the route that my family and I have. And that, you know, obviously I did not pick. I kind of fell into that. But when I'll call sometimes and I'll say, hey, I'm in town, give me a route. They'll say, well, we have one in Worthington. We have one in Bexley. We have one downtown. Which one do you want?
Okay.
So sometimes you do get to pick. And sometimes, you know, there isn't really much wiggle room.
Okay. And what made you decide to continue doing Meals on Wheels once you'd completed your requirements to graduate from high school?
It's a great program, and it is so easy. Like, I cannot tell you how easy it is. And I really enjoyed the people, and I really enjoyed, you know, the face-to-face contact, and oftentimes this is the only human contact these people have all day. And so you'll go in and they'll say, you know, I dropped this vase, and they'll be wheelchair-bound. A lot of them are wheelchair-bound. So, you know, I dropped this vase and I broke it and I can't clean it up. Can you help me? And, you know, so we'll do that for them. Or one woman was having trouble, like, she cleaned out her closets and couldn't get, like, the bags of stuff out. I've taken stuff home and fixed stuff for people. We do all sorts of stuff that they need. And so that really made me want to continue, just seeing how important it is to these people that someone comes. And sometimes people can't get their sweater on, or they need help just getting back to their bedroom, or it just makes such a big difference in these people's lives. And it's so, you know, little time out of my life. I spend, you know, probably 4.5 hours a month, as I can do the route quickly now. And I only do it, or I guess my dad does it now, but 3 times a month. So, you know, why can't I take that, you know, hour and a half, you know, every other Sunday?
And do it. Well, yeah. That sounds great. So, what's your favorite memory from delivering Meals on Wheels? Is there one that sticks out as particularly funny or
humorous? Oh, goodness. Like, there was a guy out in Bexley, and he had a dog, and he was just a really funny guy. He used to tell us stories about World War II, and me and this other girl, we would sit in his house, and he'd tell us stories about World War II, and he had a really cute dog named Piera, and we used to play with the dog.
Okay, so if other people want to be involved in Meals on Wheels, how would they go about becoming involved?
Oh, it's super easy. Just give a call down to Life Care Alliance, and they're always looking for drivers and volunteers. And I believe that there are other things you can do, like volunteering in the office and maybe even in the kitchen. But obviously, to be a driver and to deliver meals, you have to have a car and
License.
And a driver's license, yes. Let's keep it legal. But just call down there. And in fact, I probably have a number for them. But
okay,
let me give you contacts. But it's really easy. You do have to go through like a training thing, and you know, so you know how to fill out the paperwork, and you do have to fill out, or you have to take this like test on like privacy stuff. Okay. Yeah. It's just 614-278-3141. And the guy I deal with down there is Bill Reed, and he's super nice, and Polly Tice is also super nice down there. Those are the only two people that I like know personally, but give them a call, because they love help, and they love, you know, young people, because the old people love young people. People who are energetic and just willing to help. That's what they're looking for.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Teddy. No problem.
If you'd like to lend a hand and volunteer with Meals on Wheels or other human needs activities, you can contact them at Life Care Alliance at 614-278-3130. Again, that's 614-278-3130. But what if you're not particularly social, or simply prefer being outdoors to driving around? Well, the Metro Park system might just be the place for you. From trail maintenance to horticulturalists, Central Ohio's Metro Parks are abound with volunteer positions. Perhaps you'd like to help monitor animal populations, or educate children on the beauty of nature. Or maybe you'd rather help maintain wetlands and keep natural ecosystems healthy. Or perhaps you'd prefer to plant flowers and spread some beauty. No matter what your passion, the park system is the perfect way for you to get your fill of the great outdoors while also contributing to your community. And with 19 uniquely beautiful parks scattered all throughout Ohio's heartland, you'd be hard-pressed not to find something that suited your fancy. Interested? Just log on to metroparks.net/programs/activities/volunteers/ or simply call 614-891-0700. That's 614-891-0700. All this talk about nature is actually a pretty good lead-in into our creature feature. This week's featured creature is the red kangaroo. At 6 feet tall, this creature comes in as the largest marsupial in the world. And that doesn't even cover their tail, which can be another 4 feet long. Living in Australian deserts and grasslands, they feed on grasses and leaves and live in groups called mobs. A mob is headed by a single breeding male and many females and juveniles. At top speeds, they can reach 35 miles per hour and hop 25 feet in a single bound. Because they're almost always in the sun, they've also evolved solar fur, which reflects sunlight and keeps them cool. They also enjoy licking their wrists so that the evaporating saliva cools down their blood, which makes up for them being unable to sweat. Mothers will only have one baby at a time, which will live in her pouch until 2 months of age when they start making short journeys to and fro. Alright, well, it looks like we have just enough time to squeeze in a quote before I sign off for the evening. This week, we turn to Raina Maria Ryalk and her perspective on the new year. And now we welcome the new year, full of things that have never been. For Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio, I'm Lindsay. Good night.